Hey, welcome to Wolf's Watch. I'm Wolf, and we are continuing our series on how to thrive during high inflation and the coming recession. Do what this company did to thrive during inflationary cycles. Now, consider this. What do you do, right? The natural thing is in inflationary cycles is to cut cost, right? Well, how do you go about doing that? How you do it is critical in terms of being in that top 10-15% that will do very, very well during a recession versus being those that struggle or even go out of business. Here's the key. Focus on increasing productivity. Now, that's not an earth-shattering statement, right? You know to do that. You've likely been doing that with your company. If you think you have no room for productivity improvement, or your team is telling you there's just no way to be more productive, you got everything, you got to throw more money and people at it, just stop and look at what you're doing differently. Here's my question for you about how you're approaching productivity. Are you looking at productivity through the perspective of delivering value to your customers? Not in terms of what makes a task the most productive as possible in and of itself, but in the context of how that task contributes to building value, creating value for your customer. Or in other words, how does the task contribute to what your customer is willing to pay you for? It's a very different view from the traditional command and control functional silos that many companies are structured around to this day. You're going to talk about a company that does this in excellence. There's a lot that goes into it, so we're only going to have one point on that, and we'll talk about it more going forward. Here's the thing to consider. Start with your customer and look backwards through every process, every step, and see how does that contribute to delivering value to the customer? How can it be done more productively? Or in other words, less time. Right, which is less expensive. And here's a metric to consider in doing that. How long does it take? I'm going to start with a manufacturing example, and then we'll talk about non-manufacturing. For manufacturing, how long does it take for a raw material? It could be a roll of steel. It could be a gallon of glue or paint. Some raw material that's used in the manufacturing and assembly process, how long does it take from the time it is ordered to the time you are getting a payment from a customer versus how long does it actually take to build and deliver what the customer is buying from you? It is not unusual to see 60, 100, 1,000 to 1 in time leverage. A case study that I used for my latest book looked at a company where it took several hours to build what they delivered, but it took 3 to 4 weeks for the materials to get through the plant. And this was just from the time it hit the receiving dock, from the time it was received to the time it was delivered and an invoice issued. Didn't go the rest of the steps, right? Your whole cycle, especially in entrepreneurial world, right, is when does money go out? When does money come back in? And it should be more dollars in, right? You spend money on resources, you should get more dollars back in terms of the value you've added and delivered to your customer. So in that case, it was several hours of actual activity, actual labor, actual value-added time to build their product, but it was 37 days to get through their plant, to get from receiving dock to invoice. Everything that didn't think about that ratio, hours versus weeks, right? That should be 1 hour. If it takes an hour to build it, it should take an hour to get it delivered, right? It should be an hour from the time for raw material hitting the receiving dock to being delivered and invoiced. Now, in the real world, you likely never get to that 1-to-1 ratio. That's the goal. That's what you need to work towards. Every day, getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer, and having your entire work culture, company culture focused on, look, this is one of the things that we need to do every day is find a way to reduce that ratio of time it takes to get stuff through to the actual time it takes to add the value that the customer is looking for. Now, in a service example, in a professional services example, that could be the knowledge you've acquired, the marketing you've spent money on. What's the amount of time, right? Because think about that, dollars out to dollars in. That's the most generic perspective to look at. And we'll come back to the company case study I got for you for today's talk, and then we'll wrap it up. So think about that. When you pay for marketing, how long does it take to get sales dollars in your bank account? That's your cycle time. How do you break that down? And what's the ratio of value added versus waiting, which is waste? That's non-productive. And there's a lot of different types of that in there. Here's a company that does this in excellence. And it's an industrial company, perhaps a company you've heard of. It's a family company, a family-founded company that has since grown to get a little bit bigger. And it is Toyota. Toyota does in excellence looking at that. How can they continue to be productive and keeping every person that works for the company focused on, this is what we do here. This is how we do things. This is the Toyota production system. There was a great book titled The Toyota Way, which looks at the management in non-production side of what they do as well. Everybody in the company is trained in and coached in how to apply the Toyota way, the Toyota production system, the Toyota thinking to being more productive to in delivering value. See, there's the qualifier, more productive in delivering value to the customer every day. How do you do a little bit better? What do you watch for? What are the ideas? And they get presented. I had an opportunity to train at a Toyota facility, and I watched an 18-year-old gentleman who had his first job out of high school, had been with the company, I believe it was like 90 days. He'd been through his probationary period and then was inducted into the Toyota training, part of their extended onboarding process. That's another thing to consider. Here's what he did. He went through the training, and then at the end of his training, his graduation test was presenting his recommendation on how the company could operate better to the president of that business unit at 18 years old. High school education. It's phenomenal. That's how rigorous they are in applying their thinking, their analytical skills. There's a lot packed into what he did to get to that presentation. He presented his numbers. He presented, here's what I observed. Here's the analysis I did on it. Here's the financials. This is what I recommend. This is how it will be improved in terms of productivity, financials. And president of the company thanked him and said, yes, we will implement that. And that was it. That was the new policy and procedure. It got implemented right then and there. How are you doing compared to, use that as a gold standard. How are you doing in your company, in leading your company, in having that type of culture of improvement, that type of culture and how we can do stuff better every single day, and rewarding the behavior, providing the training, providing the coaching, having your team, your leadership team, then this is your role as the business owner, as the CEO, right? Coaching your team in implementing that throughout the company and having everybody focused not on their silo of technical expertise, but focused on the context of how does this deliver value to the customer and how do we do that better every day? Because the companies that focus on reducing costs through productivity improvements during recessionary cycles, during high inflation cycles, we're in a high inflation cycle right now. It's becoming more and more likely that we're going to be into a recessionary cycle. Predictions are being made 2023 at the latest. Okay. So the companies that focus on productivity improvement for cost reduction, which is very strategic, very purposeful, are the ones that do well in those cycles, the ones that prosper, the ones that have the competitive edge, which is what you need, right? The ones that can serve their customers better. So that's, and I just want to leave you with one more thought. Love to do on this day, I'm looking here off screen to make sure I get this date right. In 1976, April 11th, 1976, the Apple I computer was released. Designed and put together by Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, very famously, was the marketing and visionary push behind it that helped make the Apple such a massive brand. But that was the first product in the marketplace for Apple in 1976. As you get 76, 86, 96, 2006, 2016. So that's 46 years ago. Apple changed everything with the computer. Another company that looks at value. Now, think about that. How Apple has modified what they've done, how they've adapted. Look at what Toyota, their thinking, their rigorous thought process, that focus on productivity. How can you apply that in your business? And how can you improve that ratio of from the time you put dollars out to the time you get cash in? How can you improve that by being more, which is a productivity question. That's your key to reducing costs, managing costs during high inflation cycle. So leave you with that thought. I look forward to talking with you again soon on April 15th coming up. Here in a few days, we have Doug Wing from the Little Giant Ladder Company that will be talking about these types of issues and a whole bunch more. Join us for that. I'm Wolf. This is Wolf's Watch. Thank you for being part of the conversation. I will see you on the trail.